Now it came to pass that Matthew, the eldest son of Christiana, fell sick with a mighty sickness, which greatly pained his stomach. Yea, so great was the pain that at times he was doubled up therewith. Therefore did Christiana send for a doctor of some fame in those parts, whose name was Mr. Skill. As soon as he came into the room and had observed Matthew for a time, he decided that he was sick of the gripe.
Pray tell, madam, what have you been feeding this lad?
Why, nothing but the good wholesome food we all partake of.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yes, sir. Why do you ask?
I perceive that this lad has eaten something. Something besides what the rest of the family has eaten. Yea, whatever it is lies undigested and fermenting. It will not depart him without help, and I assure you that if we do not take action soon, the lad will die.
Oh, my! But what should we do?
That, madam, you may leave up to me. Do I have your permission?
Oh, yes, but of course. Please proceed.
Thank you. Open thy mouth, lad.
I don't understand it. We have all of us eaten at the same table since we began on pilgrimage.
That is not entirely true, dear mother.
What? Explain thyself.
Roll over, please.
Do you not remember that at the head of the way, there were branches overhanging the wall?
Why, yes. And you were all bending the branches and picking the fruit therefrom.
Until you bade us to stop, which we all did.
Except for Matthew. Oh, the naughty boy, I knew that I should have been more firm in my commandments.
You told him not to.
Aye, but not with that firmness which he would fear to disobey. Oh, my!
Did he eat thereof?
Madam,
do not hesitate here, for that was Beelzebub's garden. And if the lad hath eaten thereof, he lies in mortal danger.
Yes, he did eat some.
More than just some, for he did fill his pockets and did snack upon them between our regular times for eating.
Samuel!
'Tis true, and I speak it for your own good.
Serious, most serious.
Oh, me! 'Tis my fault! All my fault!
What fruit was it, good doctor?
That tree is an offshoot from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and many have died from eating thereof. I'm surprised that no one warned you off from that evil, infectious fruit.
Oh, naughty boy! And, oh, careless mother! What shall I do for my son?
Come, do not be too much dejected. For knowing now the cause, we may apply an intelligent treatment.
But what can save him? It hath been some many weeks since he hath partaken.
The only hope for this type of partaking is to rid the system thereof. For if it become part of his being by digestion, there can be no hope.
Then we must make him vomit it up.
Aye. I shall make a purge, and we shall see what it will do for him.
Pray, sir, try the utmost of your skill with him, whatever it costs.
Nay, concern not thyself for cost. My master hath said, freely have ye received, freely give.
And so he made him drink a purge made of the blood of a goat, the ashes of an heifer, and with some of the juice of hyssop.
Thou must drink it down, lad. Come.
Ugh.
And now what do we, dear doctor?
We can only wait to see if this mild purge will do the trick, but...
But what?
It hath been some time, and he has eaten more than most do, and that against the laws of moderation. Therefore, we may need to resort to medicine more powerful.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, poor boy.
Tell me, madam, hath the lad exhibited any change in character or behavior?
No. None that I can think of. Except... No, wait. My Matthew was always the bravest and boldest of the lot, but since eating yonder fruit... He did become the weakest. Yea, when we were attacked by the two vile ones, we were defended by all the boys, except him.
Mm-hmm. And?
Well, when we came to the hill difficulty, he was often of a mind to either rest over much or to seek an easier way.
Mm-hmm. And?
Again, when we fought with the giant, he was no help, but seemed rather inclined to go on detour.
Ah. From this I see that some of the poison hath entered into his system and infected his mind.
Oh, doctor, is it too late? Is he lost to me?
'Tis too early to say. Hath he been rebellious to thee?
Nay, not openly.
Then there's yet room for hope.
When we were at the house of the interpreter, he was very quick to answer questions on spiritual matters. May I not regard that as an encouragement?
'Tis too soon to tell. A pilgrim may know all the proper words, and yet have a heart that is no pilgrim at all. We can only wait.
After a reasonable amount of time had passed, Dr. Skill decided that the purge had been too weak, and therefore determined to mix a tonic that could in no way be resisted. It was made ex carne et sanguine Christi, and was combined with a promise or two and a proper amount of salt. This miraculous potion was made into pills and delivered to the boy's mother.
Madam?
Thank you, doctor. How do I use them?
He must take them 3 at a time upon a fasting stomach and wash them down with 1/4 pint of the tears of repentance.
Will you help me with the first treatment?
Of course. Come.
But when this potion was prepared and brought to the boy, he was loath to take it, though he was like to be torn in two with his illness.
Oh.
Come, come. You must take it.
It goes against my stomach.
I must have you take it.
No. It tastes so vile that if I do, I shall but vomit it up again.
Pray tell, sir, how does it taste?
It doth taste like manna.
May I taste one?
Of course.
Oh, Matthew, this potion is sweeter than honey.
No, 'tis bitter.
If thou lovest thy mother, if thou lovest thy brothers, if thou lovest mercy, if thou lovest thy life, take it.
I?
Why doth he hesitate?
The poison within him makes him afraid of its opposite. But he must take it.
And if I cannot?
Then thou must die.
But the bitterness!
If thou wilt partake by faith, thou shalt find it to be sweet in the mouth, and sweeter yet in the belly.
Please, Matthew.
So, with much ado, after a short prayer for the blessing of God upon it, he took it, and it worked within him as he had been promised. It caused him to vomit. And he now entered into a fever, and then into a sweeter sleep than any he had known since eating the forbidden fruit. So in a little time he got up, and was able to walk about with a staff, and go from room to room, and talk with prudence and piety and charity of his distemper, and how he had been healed.
Mother?
Yes?
May I enter?
Of course, Matthew. Is something wrong?
No, it's just that... I mean...
Yes?
Well, I know that I have been a burden upon thine heart since I disobeyed thy good counsel to me, and... Well, I'm sorry, Mother.
Oh, Matthew.
I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me, Mother Fair.
Oh, of course I forgive you. Bless you, my son. Bless you.
And so did Christiana's eldest son lift a mighty burden from off her soul and cause the springs of her head to break forth with streams of joy. Now, when the boy was fully restored, Christiana asked Mr. Skill, saying,
Pray tell, sir, what shall I give you in payment for your fine services?
Thou must pay the master of the College of Physicians according to the fees established for such a case as this.
But what price is that?
Thou must, by him, offer the fruit of your lips.
Being what?
being the sacrifice of praise and thanks to God continually lifted up. With such a payment, God is well pleased.
Ah, with gladness shall I pay such a fee as that. And these wondrous pills, are they good for anything else?
Ah, yes. This is a universal antidote to all poisonings, whether of the mind or of the body.
Then wilt thou not make me up 12 boxes of them? For if I can carry these, I may lay off all other medicines and thus lighten my load.
Certainly. These pills are good not only to cure disease, but also to prevent it. In fact, if this potion were applied and used as it should be, it would make a man to live forever.
Indeed.
But thou must take them as I have prescribed them, or they will do no good at all.
I shall. But do tell, what is the main and most potent ingredient?
'Tis made ex carne et sanguine Christi.
So you have said, but my Latin is not well learned, and I know not the meaning of these words.
Ah, these pills are made chiefly of the body and blood of Christ. Applied with the promises and salt and the tears of repentance, they will provide that which leads to eternal life.
Ah, glad I am to receive such a plentiful supply of them, to speed me on my journey.
And glad I am to impart them to thee. But now I must be away. I have many lambs to tuck into the fold ere this night be o'er. Farewell, Christiana and Mercy. God speed thee on thy way. Matthew?
Sir?
Take heed that thou eat no more green plums from forbidden trees.
Aye, sir.
Also, listen to the words of thy mother. She hath been set over thee by God to protect thee from dangers that thou cannot see. Therefore obey her by faith, even though it go against thy heart's desires.
Yes, sir.
Remember, she doth love thee more than thou dost thyself, and seeks only to do thee good by her forbiddings.
Yes, sir.
And now, dear ones, adieu.
Thank you.
Godspeed.
Goodbye.
Farewell. Godspeed.
Miss Prudence?
Yes, Matthew?
May I ask thee some questions upon spiritual matters?
Certainly.
Why is it that the herbs and potions which God hath given for our healing are, for the most part, bitter to our taste?
'Tis an allegory.
How so?
Just as you were loath to take yonder medicine which was designed to save your life, so doth the carnal heart resist the word of God.
Ah, but why doth that which is good for us make us feel yet more sick and cause us to vomit?
To show us that when the good word doth come into our mind, it maketh us sick of our past evil ways, so much so that we gladly part with them and turn away from them as vile.
'Tis a good allegory.
There are godly lessons in everything about us.
Everything?
Yes.
Even yonder flame in the fireplace?
Yes.
Then do tell. What should we learn by seeing the flame go upwards?
That we should ascend to heaven by fervent prayers and hot desires. That we should take the suggestion of Jesus and take the kingdom of heaven by the violence of our prayers.
Ah. And what do we learn by seeing the beams of sunlight coming down to warm the earth?
As the sun sends his heat, light beams, and sweet influences downwards, we are taught that the Savior of the world, though high, reaches down with his grace and love to us below.
My, thou dost certainly find lessons on every hand. Do tell, where do the clouds get their water?
Out of the sea.
And what lesson do you draw from that?
That ministers should draw their doctrines from the sea of God's word.
And if they do not?
Then they shall be empty clouds, who impart the hope of heavenly rain, but no more.
And what do we learn from the true clouds that water the earth?
Oh, that is an easy one. 'Tis to show that God's people, whether they be ordained ministers or a mere babe in the word, should give out what they know of the word.
A thing not commonly done.
Aye. And for this cause, most new Christians never advance beyond the mere alphabet of Christian experience.
Why is the rainbow caused by the sun?
The rainbow is God's token of his promise to never again send a worldwide flood, is it not?
Aye.
And 'tis caused by the sun shining through the rain, is it not?
Aye.
As Christ, the Son of Righteousness, does shine through the rain of our sorrow for sin, it produces the rainbow of hope.
Ah.
Prudence. Is it easier to be saved or easier to be lost?
They're both of them easier and harder.
Dear Prudence, thou speakest of an impossible thing.
Nay, Matthew, not at all.
Then tell how it is easier to be lost.
'Tis easy to be lost because we need do nothing. Our carnal nature and the promptings of Satan will accomplish our damnation with no effort on our part whatsoever.
This seems true. But then, how can it be harder to be lost?
Because the way of the transgressor is hard. He has no guidance from heaven, and he's like a ship with neither rudder nor sail. He seeth safe harbors that Christians attain to and desireth the same peace of soul, but he cannot attain to it.
Well then, how about the saved? How is it easier to be saved?
'Tis easy to be saved because Christ has paid the price for us. He hath taken our suffering and given us his peace, and with his stripes we are healed.
Rightly spoken. Truly there is no hardship nor suffering demanded on our part to be justified with God. Yea, there is nothing that we can do to be made right before God, except to believe on Jesus Christ, and him crucified in our place.
Wisely spoken, Samuel.
Then how can you say that being saved is harder?
Because we must become disciples.
Please explain.
To be a disciple means to respond to God's love and accept of his discipline. We must, with Paul, bring our natural tastes and desires under the control of an enlightened conscience. We must give time to study and prayer. And then, like the clouds, we must give out the things that we learn by good teachings and works for others.
So, 'tis easier to be lost because we need no discipline, but harder because we suffer greatly in mind and body. And it is harder to be saved because we must travel against our natural desires, but easier because Christ doth give us the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and will fill our lives with his peace and love.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Prudence?
Yes?
Out of this window there is a spring.
Aye.
The springs of water come to us through the earth. What lesson is to be found in that?
It shows that the grace of God comes to us through the body of Christ.
But why do some springs come forth on the tops of high hills?
To show that the Spirit of grace may spring forth in the lives of men who are great and mighty, as well as from the lives of they that are poor and lowly.
Prudence?
Aye.
See yonder candle?
Aye.
Why doth the flame fasten upon the candle wick?
To show that unless grace be kindled upon the heart, there will be no true light of light in us.
Ah. And why is the wick and the tallow consumed to maintain the light of the candle?
To show us that the body and the soul and all that we own should be spent to maintain the grace of God that is in us.
Discipline!
Aye. We must spend and be spent in God's service.
And when we get at heaven, we shall find the price to have been cheap enough.
Aye, cheap enough indeed.
Look!
What?
Over there on yonder river.
Oh my.
Why doth a pelican pierce her own breast with her bill like that?
She giveth her own flesh and blood to nourish her young. And?
So Christ has given his flesh and blood to save we, his children.
Well said, Matthew.
And what lessons are there in that?
The cocks crowing? Many.
I can think of none.
The cocks crowing reminds us of Peter's sin. And though we be as sure as he that we will never deny our Lord, yet we must ever ask God to preserve us from self-confidence.
Ah, but didst thou not say many?
Aye. The cocks crowing also reminds us that if we do sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
It is amazing that you can find so many lessons in the everyday things of life. What more doth the cock's crowing teach us?
Well, in the early hours it warns us that the day is coming on apace and that we need to be up and ready for it.
And I suppose that the spiritual lesson must be that the day of judgment hurries on, and we must be grounded in Christ Jesus, lest we be found to be lacking.
Aye.
Now about this time their month was spent. Wherefore they signified to those of the house that it was convenient for them to be up and going on their way. Then said Joseph to his mother,
Mother, remember that we have been advised that we should ask for help. Therefore, would it not be wise to ask the keeper of this place to give us Mr. Greatheart to conduct us on our way?
Good boy, Joseph. I shall not forget this time.
So she drew up an earnest petition and had it signed by all. Then she prayed Mr. Watchful, the porter, to send it by some fit man to her good friend, Mr. Interpreter. When the family of Mr. Watchful saw that Christiana and her party were eager to be on their way, they gathered the entire house together. Then they gave thanks for having been able to entertain such profitable guests.
Tell us, dear ones, what may we show thee that will help thee on thy way?
Let me show them the fruit, Father.
Very well. Have on, Prudence.
Come.
And so they took them all into a small room and showed them one of the fruits that Eve did eat of, and also Adam.
What are these, do you suppose?
Are they food or poison? I cannot tell.
They look unto me very much like a familiar fruit that hangs over certain forbidden walls.
As well you might know, eh, Matthew? Yes, these are fruits from the forbidden tree. It was the eating of these which caused our first parents to be driven from their holy garden.
And there must be a lesson herein.
Mainly, that the smaller and less tempting a sin appears to be, the greater the guilt in choosing it.
Ah.
Then they had them to another place and showed them Jacob's ladder. Now, at that time, there were some angels ascending upon it. So Christiana looked with wonder to see the angels go up, as did they all. Then they bade them move ahead to the next wonder, but James said to his mother,
Mother, please ask them if we can stay here a little longer, for this golden stairway is a most wondrous sight.
So they were permitted to gaze upon this wonder until their eyes were filled with amazement. Then they got them onward again.
Christiana?
Yes?
Do you see yonder golden anchor?
Yes.
Take it down.
All right. Now what?
You shall carry it with you in all your journeys.
But will it not burden us down?
Nay, to the contrary. The requirements of God, although they look burdensome to the unconverted heart, are of such a nature as to actually buoy thee up.
Indeed?
Yes, verily. This anchor is needful to thee. It shall help fasten thy faith within the veil wherein Christ our forerunner hath gone to intercede for us. It shall furthermore enable thee to withstand any great storms that may assail thee.
Then shall I bear it forward gladly.
And remember to share thy burden with thy children. For God hath not given them to be thy masters, but rather to lift up thy hands and make thy life easier.
Here, Mother, let me carry it first.
Thank you, son.
Why? It's not near so heavy as it looks.
That's the way with all of God's requirements. Come.
Then they took them and had them to the mount upon which Abraham our father had offered up Isaac his son. Here they showed them the altar, the wood, the fire, and the knife, for they remain to be seen to this very day.
My, this spot seemeth to me more sacred than any church. My heart doth swell within me to consider such love to God as Abraham had.
And it doth warm my heart to think of strong, young Isaac submitting to an aged and weary father, even unto death. Oh, that I might be such a son.
And such is my prayer as well.
And mine. Me too.
After this, Prudence took them into the dining room, where stood an excellent harpsichord. So she played upon it and turned what she had showed them into this excellent song.
Eve's apple we have showed you, of that be you aware. You've seen Jacob's ladder too, upon which angels are. An anchor you receive it have, but let not these suffice, until with Abram you have gave your best sacrifice.